Welcome back, everyone, to Wake Up with Jenny and Friends. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you had a fabulous week. I want to say a big shout out and thank you to our sponsor today, Death Run Supply Co. If you're not following them, make sure you follow them on Instagram at Death Run Supply Co. Go check them out on www.deathrunsupplyco.com. Tell them Jenny sent ya. They're gonna give you some fabulous gear, and I'm telling you, you need this stuff in your life. If you don't have it already, you need some. The quality of their clothing and apparel is outstanding. So make sure you check them out, Death Run Supply Co. They've got t-shirts, hoodies, bandanas, which are awesome, and tons of other stuff. So check them out. Big, big, big thank you to Death Run Supply Co. Today I have joining me my good friend back for part two, Jenny. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am fabulous. I just finished a huge coughing fit. So I'm good to go.
Let's not have a round two.
I am happy to see you, my friend. It's been a little while, and I'm excited for the show because we did a Q&A, a relationship Q&A show about a month ago, maybe?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago.
And it was a show that people had been asking me to do for a little bit, but I kind of was on the fence about doing it because the show is more of a fun, funny vibe, and I kind of felt like the relationship stuff was more suited to my therapy work, but people were asking for it, and got to give the people what they want. So we did the show.
You can't have fun with trauma.
Oh, here we go with my coffee again. Anyways, it was a hit. People enjoyed the show and asked more questions and asked for a part two. So, ask and ye shall receive. Part duh is here.
There you go. What was that? Part duh.
Part duh.
Oh, okay. I'm not gonna go there.
You don't know any French?
No.
I'm sure you've dated a few French women.
I mean, we're not gonna talk about that
one. We're not gonna talk about that. What are you drinking today?
Water. Good old faithful. Just water.
Good old H2O. Quality H2O.
We have to stay hydrated.
That is very true. How was your week? How was your weekend? Tell me all about it.
So far, it's been great. It's been great. Not that you really care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So, there we go.
Last name Zima, first name Empha.
I see what you did there. No, but I had a pretty good week. It was long and draining from work, but you know what? This upcoming week, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, so I take it where I can get it. And now
that's what she
I'm
said.
Here. That is what she said.
And do you want to say where you're going on vacation, or is that a secret locale?
Listen, I'm not almost famous like some people in this conversation here. Well, so,
I mean.
I will be in Florida.
One of my favorite places.
As mine. It's going to be the first time that I'm going to be in Florida in years. Like, I haven't been to Florida since I was a kid. And that was a long time ago, Jenny. We're old.
You're old. Speak for yourself. Anti-age.
Benjamin Button?
Yeah, what it was I started this new program. And I would explain it to you, but see how my bank account works is I have a checkings and a savings.
right. Tell me more. I'm invested now.
Oh, man. My eyes are still watering from my coughing fit.
Those are just happy tears. You're just happy to see me. Just happy it's been tears. So long. Yeah. You know?
Can you hear me okay on this thing?
I hear you okay. I hear your cough loud and clear too.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Well, I had a fabulous week. My parents came to visit.
Oh.
And that was so much fun. We did everything. It was such a great trip. I can't even, like, there are no words to describe how much fun we had. We did everything. We went to Niagara Falls.
The America side?
No, the good side, the Canadian.
Oh, the bullshit side, I see. Okay, we're still having this debate. There.
We did the Maid of the Mist. Well, what do they call it? Something else now. They call it some boat cruise or something like that. But anyways, it'll always be Maid of the Mist. So we did that, and that was fabulous. And we did a spa day.
Look at you. You pampered yourself.
My parents tried Tim Hortons for the first time.
What?
Yeah, Timbits and Timbiebs.
Listen, I have never been to a Tim Hortons. I hear great things, but your parents are from Canada, are they not?
No, they're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. They're in Atlanta, Georgia. So that was fun. And then we did, what else did we do? We did Bird Kingdom, because my mom's obsessed with birds. Did Bird Kingdom, and then we went to the Butterfly Conservatory, which was gorgeous.
Was it now?
So nice, and it was so peaceful there and relaxing, and
yeah.
The butterflies were beautiful. Like, they have 20 different kinds of butterflies there. It's amazing. Mm. It was really, really cool. And what else did we do? Just dinners and stuff. It was just fun. Gelato. We went for gelato like 900 times. Oh, so good. So good. They have a sugar-free one for my dad, so we went there a couple of times. So yeah, it was really fun. It was really, really good. It was a busy week, and it was a really good trip for me as well. I know they had a great time. Excuse me. Oh, with
this, let it out. Throat. Let it go.
My gosh, I don't have that extensive dating life to constitute this much.
So,
I mean.
Sounds like a gag reflex is in there somewhere.
I know they had a great time, but it was also a really good trip for me too, because I was reaching a point where I was getting so like overworked, but overwhelmed and like a little bit run down.
Right.
Like just working all the time. I had a couple sinus infections back to back. And so I was just kind of reaching a point where I just needed a little bit of a break, different scene. And it actually was really, really motivating because we were out every single day. We did so many things.
There's always something to do.
A day. Yeah. And it just kind of really kickstarted me into a more of a motivated like mood, I guess you could say, to get my butt in gear with my own plans instead of just like working all the time, which I'm still going to do. But it just gave me that extra little push and that motivation to start putting my mind towards making, you know, my big move. So this weekend that started doing that and just sort of clearing stuff out and
clearly
putting the wheels in motion for my big move. And so, yeah,
that's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
It was good. It was fun. We had a great
time. We all need that time to decompress. We all need, you know, something like that to get away, to catch a break from reality and just kind of let our hair down a little, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you had a great time. I'm glad that you did something.
It was a lot of fun.
Special for yourself.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we can't wait to do it again. And I'll post a lot. I posted a few videos on TikTok, but I'll post like lots more pictures. I posted a ton of pictures on Instagram. So it was a really good time. Yeah, it was really
I'll go make sure to look at them and not like them.
Sounds like you.
That's what we do. What are you drinking? What do you got going on over
there? I got a little bit of the whiskey going on here. A little whiskey and water.
That's way too.
It's whiskey and water with ice. What?
How are you disrespecting whiskey like that? Clearly,
don't
if you
start,
look behind.
Don't start with me, Danny. Don't start. Danny boy, the pipes are going.
Really? You're going to do that? You're going to do that?
But you got to, you know how you have to, that's a, do you know that song? It's a very old song. Do you know that song?
Well, clearly you know that song.
I've studied the years of yester.
I'm sure you have.
It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. It was almost arduous.
Well documented.
That song, you have to sing it like, you know, at church, there's like the oldest member of the church in the choir, like in the back.
They always put that soul in it.
With the little lip quiver. It's like, Nanny boy, the pipes are calling. You have to sing it like that or it's not good.
I don't go to churches like that, but I guess I understand.
You don't go to church.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you just call me a heathen?
Ooh.
I'll accept it. It's
no,
okay.
I know you will. You and all your red flags.
Yeah. Love I you. Have way too many of them.
I don't think you have very many red flags. I think you're looking for the right things. I think you and I are very much on the same page with what we
right.
want and look for. And yeah, but anywho, should we just do the damn thing?
Let's get it.
Let's
I'm
get
ready.
It on. Let's get
I'm
it
excited.
Going. We have a couple things planned for today. So a few weeks ago, when I announced that we were going to do a part two, I mm-hmm. opened up my DMs and the question section.
I can imagine how many people slid in those.
Oh, I got some.
You know what I'm saying? Tell me to be quiet.
For people to send in their questions for our Q&A episode. We got some great questions. Again, no names will be given out or shared except for question number two, John from Cincinnati. No, I'm joking.
He's probably in shock listening to this right now. He's like, that bitch. She said I'd be anonymous.
He's filling out his paperwork to read his stuff right now. Move in progress. No, all anonymous. And there was about 25, 27 questions, I think. But I picked 7 at random.
Oh, you scared me for a second there. We're going to be here all night.
Excuse me. So I picked 7 at random. And I think we picked 7 last time too, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was 7.
And so again, these are, I picked them at random. I just scrolled and picked. So if we don't mm-hmm. answer your question on this episode, I'm sure we will do another episode and we will answer your question there. So let's get right into it. Let's answer some of these questions. One question I have for you before we start is very important. I need to know this. Oh. Do you roll your sleeve cuffs on t-shirts? Do you roll them up?
No.
What?
No. What? Who does that?
Hi. Rolled? Hi.
That must be a Canada thing.
You don't roll? Okay. Well, somebody, I usually do this, and someone called me Fonz the other day. They're like, okay, Fonz. Do you not roll your shit? I don't know. You don't roll your shit up?
No. It's, who does that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'm the only one. I mean, okay.
Okay. You are. You probably are. You know what? You'd be great, Jenny.
Thanks, guys. Okay. Oh my God. Have you seen The Goonies?
I have. My favorite movie. Oh.
Is it like all guys, that's their favorite movie?
Wait, no, let's not do this.
Okay.
First question.
I know. Sometimes you have to reel me in. I know.
Yeah.
First question. Here we go.
She wanders, guys.
only in my thought process, not in my heart. Okay.
Guys, she wanders. Take it how you will.
Don't spread rumors about me.
In vernacular?
That's the one. Question number one. Am I the asshole for postponing our wedding date because his mom and I don't get along? We've been engaged for 2 years, but every time a significant event or holiday comes around, his mom creates an emergency and he runs off to rescue her. For the first 6 months of our relationship, I didn't mind so much, but as time went on, it seems she doesn't want me to be in the family, and I don't want to be with a man who will leave his family to be for his family every time there is the slightest issue. Should I call the whole thing off?
Ooh. Would you like to answer that first? Because that first, there's a lot to unpack there.
One key piece of information, which she may not have realized, she probably already answered her own question. When she said, I don't want to be with a man who will.
Yeah.
So if that's what
you're, red flag.
Yeah, if that's what you're already experiencing, and that has been going on for at least 2 years, mm-hmm. and you know, often past behavior is often a good predictor of future behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might be an indicator. Sorry, this mascara is running my life right now.
Yeah. That might. is that what we're gonna blame it on?
Some coughing fit made my eyes water. That might be an indication that maybe you don't feel so secure in the future of this relationship. So that's number one. Yeah. Number two, shit happens, things happen, you know, stuff comes up, and I can definitely see where there's a pull for the man to be, you know, still loyal and connected to his parents, his mom in this case, but he's trying to move on with his life, and so much mm-hmm. so that he's engaged to a woman that he has announced that he wants to spend his life with. So, you know, two shall join and cleave from the parents, not to bring in the biblical aspect of it, but you know, you got to leave one side to the other and build your own life. You know, that's what his parents did, and mm-hmm. that's what he should be doing. And the last little part I'll make about that is that now we're just hearing this from her side. So granted, we don't know anything mm-hmm. about the other side, and you know, it might be a different perspective there. But if the mom is creating a problem every time there's something important for these two young people to do, no, bitch. Like, what? Like, you can't hang on to him like that. Like, you're going to lose one or both of them for sure. Right. Because even if worst case scenario, they don't end up being together, he's not going to stick around for that to happen a second time when he meets someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's going to grow old pretty stinking quick.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to happen with every relationship.
Absolutely. That's instilling a red flag, like I said before. So is she the asshole for that? Probably not. She's setting a standard. She's setting a boundary, understandably so. But I think it falls on him to control his mom and his reactions to all these emergencies that happen every time something important comes up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one thing that I would say about that. I think they need to have a long and hard conversation about everything and figure out whether or not this is what they really want. Now, what you said before was really interesting about, you know, her statement. Now that indicates to me that she's not really sure that she even loves this guy or wants to be with this guy. You know,
well, I don't know if it questions her love, but I think it's an indication of her apprehension to move forward.
I would say question the love, because there's a difference between love and motive, right? So what's her motive to wanting to marry this guy, to staying so true to this guy if every situation comes up, every time something happens, a situation comes up, you mm-hmm. know? There has to be some kind of love there. Yeah, I got that. But at the same time, what's the motive? So you kind of have to ask yourselves, you know, her and her husband or fiance need to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And they need to talk about where the direction is that their relationship is going, because a relationship is based off of two people.
Yeah.
And not any third party, unless you guys allow that third party. And
right. Yeah. Know. Right. Yeah. Yeah. She may be allowing that too. By accepting that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see her point. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, when you're starting out and you're a young couple, I mean, all you want to do is spend all your time together and get to know each other and grow and start a family. And
yeah, wait till they get older. Get away from me.
Don't touch me. Gross.
Don't you have something to do?
But I mean, the last thing I think, coming from a female perspective, but last thing I would want is to like be at home struggling with something, having the kids, doing 10 things, and then I need my husband or I need help from my husband and he's not around because he's catering to his mom.
Yeah.
That would piss me right the fuck off, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have a short temper anyway, so it doesn't
matter. That is not true. Why do you are you trying to like paint me? I was like, that is not true. But that would be annoying.
But from a male's perspective, in that situation, a male who's been married, who's been through situations, you know, involving mothers-in-laws and, you know, in-laws as a whole.
Yeah.
I think it's important that he puts his foot down and stops whatever it is that his mom is trying to do. If he's happy with this woman, then he needs to make it clear. Listen, I'm happy with this woman. Stop impeding. You know, like, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be your mother. It could be your uncle, whatever, whoever the fuck it may be. There needs to be some boundaries, and there needs to be respect for your relationship.
Yeah, I would say the onus is on her for accepting that for such a long time, because it's given him the impression that it's okay to continue that. So I think a long, hard talk, as you said, is needed. And I think that if she's apprehensive, I wouldn't keep postponing the wedding date. I would just call it off. I wouldn't waste anybody's time. Like, because she's also wasting her time the longer she stays in this relationship, you know? But I think the burden of this situation sits on his shoulders, and him allowing his mom to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think he needs to, as you say, set boundaries. I would agree with that. And if it's a true emergency, that's one thing, but if it's just coddling and running every time she says jump and he says how high,
it's
gonna be a problem. So he also has to realize that, like, he has to make his own life, like, and his parents have to realize that, like, they made their own life when they were young. They made their decisions. Mm-hmm. They had their choice. They did their own thing.
Yeah.
Now he has to do that.
So. Another important question that I would ask is, how old are these people? You know, if they're young, if they're like in their late teens, like 19 or 20, right around there, or if they're in their early 20s, you know, just being able to drink for the first time legally, you know, that kind of brings up the question as to why, or not even a question, it brings an answer as to why mom is so overprotective, right? But if they're in their late 20s and their early 30s possibly, then that boy needs to let go.
Yeah. I would, they've been together, if they said she's been engaged for 2 years. So I would venture to guess that they're a little bit older. But even on the young side, you know, if you're making the decision to make a big move and get married, parents, you got to let them make their own choices and their own mistakes and their own, you know, go to war with their own battles. And all you got to do
is let go, mom.
Yeah, let go, mom. Hashtag let go. Okay. So we say call it off, right? That's what we
call it off.
Call it off. Yeah. Fuck that guy. Call it off.
Yeah. Tell her my DMs are open. No,
Question number two. Let's hear it. My girlfriend never wants to go out. I'm very active and want to spend time with friends, but she gets jealous and only wants to stay home and watch movies.
Red flag.
Okay, well, let's not paint her as a red flag just yet. Maybe she's a homebody. We don't know.
There's a potential there. Okay, yeah. I'm listening.
So this may or may not be a thing. I'm just going off exactly what's written here with no emotion or context. I am very active and want to spend time with my friends.
Okay.
Okay. But the first statement was, my girlfriend never wants to go out. But his foundation for that is, I want to spend time with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying he wants to go out and do things with her. He's saying he doesn't want to go out. I'm very active. I want to be with my friends. But he's not saying, I would love for all of us to do something together.
Don't do the woman thing.
Don't do the woman thing.
So look, all right. So my response to this is pretty straightforward, right?
Mm.
Although you read into it, I feel a little entirely too much. It seems like he extended the invitation to her several times. It seems as if he extended the invitation to her enough for it to be a problem, right? and she just doesn't want to go. I'm not saying that the red flag is on her. I'm not saying the red flag is on him, but that relationship does have red flags, right? Mm-hmm. And those red flags are being that they're not on the same page, right? If you're not on the same page at any point in time, once in a while, it's okay to have a difference in opinion.
Right.
But if it's a consistent thing, and if it's something that you guys are consistently fighting about or constantly fighting about, then it's something that you guys need to address, right? If he's active and he wants to be with his friends and everything like that, and he's invited her to go out several times, and she's getting jealous or she gets upset that he's going out with his friends, then
you're right. He did say she gets jealous. Yeah, you're right. He did say that.
So
yeah,
why wouldn't she just go with him in lieu of him going with his friends
instead of monopolizing his time at home?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I get the homebody piece. I mean, you can mm-hmm. have that balance. Mm-hmm. You can definitely have that balance in a relationship. You can be with an introvert if you're an extrovert and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to meet in the middle and kind of sanctify the relationship in a healthier way.
Yeah.
You know, versus constantly getting jealous or mm-hmm. having a problem with someone's actions when they clearly invite you out.
I would be excuse me. I would be interested to know if she was a homebody when they met. Because if he's always been active and she's always been a homebody, you kind of can't really complain. You met each other that way.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you came.
If he's changed and he wants to go out and spend time with a friend, like, it's okay for you to do separate things. Like, if, like, it's,
yeah.
So again, you know, communication is the biggest thing. You know, maybe they work out some kind of deal where he goes out like Mondays and Wednesdays are his days to go out with the boys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have a date night on Friday and then they, you know, do a movie night on Saturday, whatever.
Right.
You can compromise and do that. But if it's a monopolization of someone's time and you're you want to control them and say, oh, I, you know, you can't go out with your friends and I want you to stay home and just stay home all the time. And I mean, that's not healthy. Yeah. It's not healthy for her too. She needs to get out.
It sounds a lot like codependency. You know?
Yeah, it's a little bit toxic. So
yeah. So you can be an individual and in a relationship, but don't get mad whenever you're extended the invitation, but you decline it. You know, you reject the invitation. Okay, so there's a balance. You know, just
or maybe have his friends come over to the house, and you have like watch the game at the house or something, and you know, you party together that way. Or but also on the flip side, I'd say don't take advantage of that too. Mm-hmm. So like, don't be going out all the time if you know she hates it and she wants to spend time with you. Don't be out like 6 out of the 7 days of the week, because that's mm-hmm. disrespectful too. Don't overdo it on the flip side. Okay, here's a question for you. It's probably not for me.
For me.
How many times per week should the average couple have sex? What is normal?
7.
7 times a week.
More, if you can.
7 times a week, more if you can.
More if you can. All right. So I'm joking when I say that, of course, but sex is a
Why is that a joke? I'm sure that's normal for some people.
For some people,
I don't know anything about sex because I'm an angel. So
you're so full of shit. Anyway, but sex in a relationship is important. It's an important aspect. A lot of people, their love language is physical touch, right? Yeah. So with that being said, I mean, physical touch doesn't only entail cuddling or holding hands, although mm-hmm. that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. Sex is a huge part of it, you know, like that intimacy. A lot of people crave that kind of intimacy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You said that because you won.
But, put it in me.
I'm just going to drink my water and I'm going to behave myself, Jamie. But in any case, a lot of people see that as a form of intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. You have those few people that see intimacy as like acts of kindness, you know? Mm-hmm. We could have a simple conversation and consider that intimate, right? So I think you're just showing off the merch for the sponsors. That's all it was.
Death Row Supply Co.
But with that being said, still, all in all, you know, it depends on the relationship and what you feel is safe. You know, if you feel comfortable with that, then go for it. Mm-hmm. Have sex as much, be like little fucking bunnies. Go crazy, right? And then if not, then don't, you know?
So from a medical standpoint, I will tell you that it's extremely healthy to have as much physical affection and sexual intercourse as possible during the week. And it actually prolongs the life of,
in particular, can I get a prescription for that?
In particular, males. It actually extends your longevity. So I will point that out from a medical point of view. And I agree with you. I say, you know what, if you're in a healthy relationship and you guys are comfortable with each other and you both want it, do it whenever you can, whenever you want, whenever you can, as often as you can. And because that's how you connect. I think for most men, not for all, don't write me and say, that's not the way I connect. I said most, not all. Don't at me. For most men, that's how they connect. Is intimacy, is physical touch.
So that form of intimacy, yes.
That form of intimacy, yeah. You made a very good point about love languages. What are your love languages, by the way?
I'm not saying.
You don't want to say?
I am not saying.
What, do you know what the five?
Yes.
Okay, what are they, tough guy?
Oh, now I'm a tough guy. Listen, Jenny, I don't want to get into this with you, okay? Because I see what you're doing. You're trying to Jedi mind trick me, right? into spilling my love language. I'm not doing that.
Okay, I'll be the brave one here and I'll share.
That's
okay. So, like, my love languages are physical touch and acts of service. So those are my two. So I love that physicality of a relationship and feeling safe and comfortable in a relationship. And that's a big part of it. But acts of service is a huge one for me. So just the little things, like just taking care of me, like that kind of thing. It just is a huge, like putting gas in the car or making sure the airs are filled with tight. The tires are filled with tires. Or correcting me when I'm wrong. No. Just, you know, like little things like that, like making sure things are done, like fixed around the house, like, you know, like stuff like that. Just taking those extra little things like off of my plate, or things that I don't have to worry about, things like that. That, to me, those little things mean more than the big things, more than anything you could ever buy me. Like, those little things mean the most to me.
Right.
Yeah. So those are mine. But everybody has, you know, it's a great book, by the way. If you haven't read it, for anybody listening or watching, The Five Love Languages. Great book. You can download it for free. And listen to it on audio. Yeah. It's everywhere.
It's on YouTube. I found it on YouTube a couple times. I did a seminar with it. And then it's really powerful, and it's good to understand how you want to be loved or how you need to be loved, right? Yeah. Or how you want that attention, right? So let's say, for example, if somebody has words of affirmation and somebody's always putting them down and talking bad about them, well, then guess what? They're going to have a bad reputation or a bad rapport with words of affirmation. So
absolutely. It's a great way to discover, as you said, how you like to be loved, but it's also a great way to recognize how your partner enjoys being loved and recognize your partner's needs so you can fulfill that. So
absolutely,
that's a great book.
Great point, Jenny.
so get your dick is what we're saying.
Hey, you know what, listen, you be great.
Jump on
that
it.
Question.
Jump
Go, on ahead. It. Go ahead. Go ahead. Fuck away.
Next question. I think my dad's listening to the show. Okay.
Number four. Did your dad ask that question?
No.
Get it, pops. Get it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. That was question. Where were we? Oh, what's the number? Okay. Question number four. My husband has a bit of a jealous streak. If he sees another man talking to me, I know, kind of cute, right?
Yeah,
if he sees another man talking to me, even if it's just in passing or while we're out in public, he gets upset. How should I approach this?
There's so much that I want to say.
Okay, you go first.
The petty in me is telling you to just be friends with whoever. You don't even have to be friends with whoever, whatever guy, but just to be petty. But that's just me. Don't be petty. All right. You be a wonderful woman. You be amazing. Okay. So with that being said, if your husband is jealous about anything that you do, as far as it comes, as far as opposite gender for you, right? Best thing you can do is reassure him, because that sounds like there's a lot of insecurities in him. He has a lot of insecurities. He's scared that you're going to find somebody better or whatever the case may be. A lot of guys won't talk about it, but it's a subconscious fear. It's a subconscious fear that we have. And whenever we get jealous about things like that, typically, the thought process is like, fuck, man, she's going to leave me for this guy. Like, what does this guy have that I don't? Why does she want to get his attention? Like, fuck that dude. You know, but it's an insecurity, and he needs to work that out. There's nothing you can do about that. It's all on him. So that comes down to him. But for you, the best thing you can do is reassure him.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
You have anything to add, Jenny?
That's all you want to say? I think that's great.
You know what? Listen, I'm just trying not to be petty today.
For a change. So what I think...
Let's hear what you think.
I actually agree with you. I will say there's a slight difference in forms of jealousy. So if it's if it's a little bit of jealousy, I think is healthy. It's cute, and it's, you know, it can bring out a protective side, and it's your dirty little whorish ways mouth. It is cute. It is a little bit cute. If it's jealousy and anger, that's not good.
Yeah.
So if it's
possessive,
if it's possessive, if it's angry, if it's controlling, if it's outwardly physical, that's not healthy. That's toxic. And I would suggest you leave that yesterday. ASAP, Rocky. But a little bit is good, is healthy. And I think I totally 100% wholeheartedly agree with you. I think as a woman, you should not constantly, but there should be a reassurance of how much you love and adore your partner, and even if he is jealous, that he knows that nobody's gonna sway you or turn your mind or your heart towards anybody else but him. So I think that's important, and equally important for him to do that too, because I think when a woman feels secure in that way, that just opens her whole heart and soul up, and the benefits you get from that in a relationship are exponential, I think.
Yeah. I call it beauty and the beast syndrome. That's what I identify it as, right? So
yeah.
Clearly, like, he has this beast mentality that, you know, he's insecure. He doesn't feel appropriate. He doesn't feel like he should be competing with anybody because he already has you. And every time you address another male, it feels like there's a competition taking place, right? For her, she will be the beauty in the situation, because her attention and her idea and her mindset is towards him. Although it won't be swayed, you know, she does have other priorities and other things that she does have to engage, right? Whether it be for her job, whether it be for, you know, the gym, she's working with a trainer, whatever the case may be, you know, and back and forth. And it's always something that most men deal with. A lot of men deal with, actually. So it's one of those things that beauty and the beast syndrome, like, we feel like the beast, we're not good enough, we don't feel this, and you know, but that's the way I see it, that's the way I perceive it. But reassurance is key.
I agree. And I would also say there's other little ways that you could play this to your advantage, both of you. Like, you know, if you're the wife and you're talking to someone else just in passing, and you notice your husband's looking at you, just, you know, look over and give him a little wink, you know,
or let him know that you're
let him know that you're talking, but you see him, and you give him a little wink. Because it also lets the other guy know, hey, my man's right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's going to make him feel good. And for the guy, if you see her talking to someone, you know, go over and be like, feel secure in knowing that even if she's talking to someone, you're going home with her. Like, walk right up and grab her by the waist, to tap her on the butt, you know, give her a little... How's your uncle? You know, maybe not. How's your uncle? But
I have some questions, Jenny. You know what? Your dad is listening to this, isn't he? Dad, probably. You need to have a talk with your daughter.
No, but I, you know, you there's ways you can, you know, kind of use it to your little, you know, make it kind of enticing and sexy and right. fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't
turn
have
it
to
into a game.
It like, yeah, yeah, a little flirtatious, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Question number 5. Just started seeing this guy 3 months
Aww,
ago.
So cute.
Hold the phone. It gets better. I never really noticed this before because we go to the same gym. But outside the gym, he stinks. How do I tell him that he smells without sounding rude?
How do you notice that he stinks outside the gym, but not inside the gym?
Well, she said she started seeing him 3 months ago. So I'm assuming they go on dates outside the gym. You don't just pull up a chair and a couple of candles inside the heavyweights. Like,
yeah, but you know, there's still such a thing as hygiene. It doesn't matter where you are.
This is what she's asking. She's saying outside, I never really noticed it in the gym because probably everyone stinks in the gym. But she says outside of the gym, when we're outside of the gym, he stinks. How do I tell him? How do I tell him that he smells without sounding rude?
Suggest a shower date.
That might get awkward because it'd probably have to be repetitive.
Hey, you know what? Listen, it's a win-win. Remember, we just spoke about, you know, people having sex every day.
That's true. That's true.
If you listen to this podcast, if you listen to this episode, if you listened and followed us up until this point, the operative word here is in communication, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I understand you're struggling with how to communicate that, but I think a direct approach would probably be more ideal in this mm-hmm. situation, right? Like, listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you kind of smell a little funny. Do you mind taking a shower or putting cologne on before our next date?
Oh, no. I wouldn't do the cologne thing because he'll just cover that shit up with cologne and it's not going to be clean. You don't want
to
like...
Oh, then you know what? You bring the cologne to the next date. After you show his shower, just spray a couple on him. That's it.
I would do a two-parter. I'd go in first with the, what shower gel do you usually use? And he'll say whatever he says, and then you'd go, oh, do you like it? Do you find it works for you? Because then he's gonna think, fuck, does it work for me? And he's gonna do the old sniff. Yeah. Like then he's gonna get him thinking, right? if he's not picking up what you're putting down, next time I'd be like, yo, bro, you stink. Like,
and there's nothing wrong. Like, I don't know about how you feel about this guy's personality. If the only deal breaker is his BO, then, you know, you got to have that heart to heart. There's no way around it. But if that's not the only deal breaker, you're just going to have to cut sling load, let him go.
I agree. I would agree with that. It's 3 months, so it's fairly new. And me personally, hygiene is a big thing for me.
Absolutely.
And one of my pet peeves is like, bad teeth and bad breath. So if he's washing his body, he probably is not brushing his teeth.
Yeah.
And halitosis, you don't want dirty, nasty teeth down on your Pikachu. Like, you don't want these. No. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Direct approach.
Yeah.
Question number 6.
Ooh.
Best suggestions for a first date.
Oh, this is fun. Yeah. I like first dates. I like dates in general.
You have many of them, so this will be good.
I don't have many of them, so don't do that to me, okay? But I enjoy dates there's many things that you can do, all right? Jenny, shut the fuck up. But there's many things that you can do on a date, right? Mm-hmm. The first date, ideally you'd want to take her somewhere public, somewhere where she'll feel comfortable. Yep. Where she'll feel safe, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be like, hey, let's just, it's midnight,
use the lotion, Clarice.
But Amazon sells this date calendar thing, right? If you go on Amazon and you scratch it off and it's a date, you know, you do whatever is on that date, whether it be a carnival, just a car ride, a picnic, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect idea is, like, for a date is scratch off one of them things and you're already golden. You know, as long as it's something that you guys both agree on, it'd be cool, it'd be dope, it'd be awesome. But picnics, I like the idea of picnics for a first date, mm-hmm. because it's in a public park. You guys get that, both get comfortable with each other, get to know each other, you know, and it'll enjoy, be a little bit more intimate. Yeah, long walks on the beach, all that fun stuff, you know. But it's a perfect way to get to know each other, because if you go to a restaurant, there's a lot of loud noises in the restaurant, a lot of other people are talking, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Can be intimate, but if you're at a park, you know what I mean? Like, you guys sharing a blanket, you guys can get close and talk, you know? It's just a little tidbit, you know? But the date scratch off idea, it's...
I love that.
I like that.
I love that idea. For me, I'd say... get the fucking out of the way. First thing, get it. Yeah. You got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
No, that's don't listen to that.
Bad advice. Yes, absolutely. Listen to that,
because it's not my suggestion.
It's not her just suggestion, but it's her style.
What? Not my style. I would say if it's your first time meeting, I would only do coffee. I would just go for coffee. And then if you like each other, then you can decide if you want to go for like a lunch or a dinner or something later, whatever. But I would only commit to a coffee. But if you're already in that next step and it's like a first date, I agree. Something outdoorsy is always great.
Yeah.
Either like a hike or a walk or a picnic is a great idea.
You don't want to do a hike because, you know, BO is a real thing.
Well, hopefully it's not the guy from the gym.
Yeah.
Because then you're screwed.
Yeah, let's not go on a date on a hike with a guy from the gym.
I wouldn't suggest a beach. I had a guy ask me one time to go to the beach for a first date, and I just thought that was fucking awkward.
Yeah,
no, I thought that was so awkward because all I could think was, and I was young. I was like, I think I was like 19 or something, and he was a little bit older, and all I could think of was, this guy just wants to see me in a bathing suit.
Exactly.
And I just felt so awkward and uncomfortable, and I was like, no. And he kept pushing and pushing and pushing to meet at the beach, and I was like, oh, you know, I'd really love to go, but I'm actually on my period right now. And then he stopped asking me, and then he never asked me out again, and I was okay with that. But I was like, oh my god, I said no once, don't keep asking me. Like, I just thought it was weird. So the beach, I don't think, is a good first date thing, but something outdoorsy I think is really nice, and because you can see how you are outside and how you deal with the elements, and and then there's lots of things to do when you're walking about, right? You can find places you want to stop at, or you can say, oh look, there's my car, this has been great, thanks so much. See you later.
Oh, shucks. I hate to cut it off so soon, but
I didn't know we were this close to the parking lot. Last question, and this will, as we say, parlay nicely.
Oh, okay.
Into our next segment, but this is
the good old Jenny lingo.
This is our last question. Question number 7. This might trigger some people, so just be prepared.
Yes,
can a marriage survive cheating? My wife had an affair 1 year ago. I forgave her, but it's always in my mind. I don't know if I can trust like I did before. You won't trust like you did before? You won't.
Yes.
It's an entirely new trust. If there is trust, if there's a capability and a possibility to trust, it's an entirely different trust. It is now an entirely different situation and relationship, and you have to learn each other all over again.
Yes.
And you may discover that you cannot be with each other. If this is just my opinion, everyone is different, the situation is different for everyone. If you are committed to staying together and recommitting to each other, therapy is probably a must. if not a definite must. And both of you will have to learn to let some things go.
Yes.
As hard as that is.
Yes.
If that is possible, I think that's great. And I always advocate for working things out. But from a personal standpoint, I would say there are deal breakers.
Yes.
And most of the time, you cannot come back from that.
Yes. I will say this. Mm-hmm. Very, very well put, Jenny. Very well said. Can the marriage survive cheating? Yes. The marriage can survive cheating. But can you survive cheating? And now that's the more important question, because at the end of the day, it's not the marriage. You can't blame the marriage for one person's actions, right? But you are in total control of your mindset and how you respond to these actions.
Well, that's the crux of it, yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, you can't stay in a situation like that. And like Jenny said, therapy is a must. There's ways around it if you're willing to accept it. But like you said in your question, like you asked, you've been having a hard time letting it go, and it takes time to let go. Mm-hmm. Cheating is not something that you can wake up and forget about one day, right? Mm-hmm. It takes years. In my case, it took years for me to fucking finally decide, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't do this anymore. It's costing way too much mentally for me. Mm-hmm. But that's my case. Everybody's case is different. Everybody responds different. Everyone has different reactions, right? Mm-hmm. Therapy, I suggest you get therapy. Talk to somebody. Somebody out there knows your story and knows exactly how you're feeling and can help you unpack and explain and express the way you truly feel. Because for one, I can tell you honestly, I didn't know how the hell I felt up until I spoke to someone and they were like, hey, you know what's going on, right? But they broke everything down for me line by line and mm-hmm. it opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. So you never know what somebody is capable of explaining to you and how they're capable of opening your eyes in a different light. So even if you're not experiencing cheating, and this goes for everyone, if you're not experiencing cheating, if you're having a disagreement or a situation in your relationship, right? I still suggest therapy, right?
I was going to say that too, yeah.
I still suggest therapy. I suggest therapy when things are good, and I suggest therapy when things are bad, only for the simple fact that when things are good, therapy can help strengthen those bonds and help mm-hmm. bring those strengths up a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
When things are bad, like I said, it gives you different perspectives about the relationship, and it gives you other ways to understand your partner, right? More effective ways of communication. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people call it and refer that to as like a third party style of communication, mm-hmm. right? Like if I'm in a relationship and I can't talk to my wife at that point in time or my girlfriend at that point in time, maybe somebody else, if I explain myself to somebody else, they'll understand it and be able to translate it a little bit better.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? So I think therapy is a must in a relationship. I don't think very many situations don't call for therapy. Unless you...
Yeah, and I think even if you don't end up staying together, I think you still need therapy just to navigate your healing process,
mm-hmm.
and to learn about yourself as mm-hmm. well. I think it's a very powerful thing to rediscover yourself and the boundaries you want to set in the future and who you really want to be, because otherwise you kind of get a little bit lost in everything, and you mm-hmm. can tend to get a little wishy-washy, and that
right.
once that sets in and you get into that mentality, and you know, you just kind of fucking hate everyone and hate the world, and
right
you might find little bits of happiness, but it's hard to find joy when you don't know who you
yeah.
are.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we spoke about it earlier. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you got your love languages, you got ways to talk to your partner, you got ways to deal with your partner. And as far as insecurities go, insecurities are all independent, you know. Mm-hmm. It's on the individual to handle your own insecurities. It would be selfish of you to ask your wife to not cheat or to take back what she did, because realistically,
well, you can't take it back.
Yeah,
what's done is done.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And, like, you can't bring that.
It's, I think, a huge portion of it is not necessarily the act of cheating, It really is. I mean, that's part of it, but I think the majority of it is really that betrayal and that lack of trust.
Yeah.
Because once you lose trust with someone, it's very, very, very hard to regain that. And and if you're not secure in that trust, you will always question and always second guess it. And that's a very unhealthy and unsafe place to be for either party. And even if you do decide to work it out, you know, if you're the person who cheated, you know, you're going to face a whole host of insecurities to come because you're going to go through this mind process of, well, now are they going to cheat on me? Or they say they trust me, but do they really? And they say they love me, but do they really kind of secretly hate me? Like you really.
You'll end up that jealous husband.
You really fuck things up when you go outside your marriage for those things. And it's a hard bite to swallow. I'll tell you that. And I wish you, I
won't Jenny say, could swallow some pretty big bites.
I won't say any names or anything here, obviously, but I do wish you luck with navigating this. And I hope if you're listening to this episode and we've answered your question, I hope you do what is best for you.
Yes, absolutely. Self-love.
I don't know if there's kids involved in this situation, but even if they are, I think the cop out of we staying together for the kids, I think that's
I
don't buy into that bullshit. Sorry.
That does way more harm than good.
You do more harm than good. Yeah, I know some therapists would disagree with me. I know some would agree. But my standpoint is I don't think it's healthy, because if you're not in a loving, respectful relationship, your kids are just going to sense toxicity and tension, and that's not healthy. So I wish you luck in that. And I hope you find some peace, some personal peace.
Absolutely.
Shall we move on to our next segment?
I think we should.
Okay. Did you have something else you wanted to say before I?
No, that was actually pretty spot on. So
okay.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. So this next piece, you had shared something with me that you had seen on social media.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a quote, it was a question or a debate sort of.
Yeah, it was about, a question.
Yeah, about men and emotion and sharing emotion.
Yes.
And there were some some discussion, a continual thread, if you will, of conversation.
Yes.
So I will let you take the lead on this and share the whole background story, and then we'll discuss. We'll have some butter and we'll discuss.
Here we go. Okay, so as she said, There was a question posed on Facebook, right? And the question read, why can't men share their emotions, right? And it stuck to me because I'm one of those men. I don't typically talk about my problems. Jenny's known me for a few years now, and to this day, she still has to drag things out of me when something's going on, right? But
they call me the face puller.
I'm gonna take my water right now. But it's an important question, and it's a very, very important topic, right? Because if you look at what's going on now, everything is women's issues, you know, pride issues, or, you know, abortion issues. And we just entered into July. Last month
was July issues.
Last month was Men's Mental Health Month.
Right.
I saw maybe two posts the entire month dedicated to men. Everything on my feed, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, everything was either about Pride Month or the Roe v. Wade more recently, or women's rights,
which was a big thing.
Let's not
denounce that, and that's maybe another show. But I will say that's a very valid point. Yes.
Yeah. So with all that being said, that directly ties into why men cannot share their emotion, simply because there's not enough light or there's not enough room in people's minds and hearts for a man's emotional distress, right? Everybody's so preoccupied and so worried about other things. And then men, we selflessly put ourselves aside and our issues aside to cater and uplift and build up the other communities, right? It takes a lot, and it does take a lot. So men really do have more suicides per capita than anyone else.
Yeah,
and
that is a fact. Yeah,
it's for a reason, and it's for these reasons right here. You know, it's for, we had a whole month dedicated to us, and we couldn't even express ourselves for that month because it'll be overshadowed or it'll be turned into something else.
So when you say there's not enough room or space for men to share their feelings, can you maybe expand on that a little bit? Because I think as women, we want you to share your emotions. We want to know how you feel and what you're feeling. Like we love that. So maybe expand a little bit on that piece and what that entails.
So with that being said, like very few women love and appreciate that. Not very many women are expressive of how much they appreciate.
Really? Right? You find that? Have you found that in your own experience or?
Yes, I definitely found that in my own experience. I found there's been a few women here recently that, you know, they're really good friends of mine and they, like, I'll talk to them and stuff like that. But just like I treat you, I treat them. They got to pull things out of me. They got to draw things out of me because I don't like talking about things. Because a lot of times what I found is that most of the time when I open up, it'll be turned into a problem. Like, oh, you're only feeling that because of X. You're only feeling this because of Y. But realistically, they'll relate it to a woman problem. You know, for the safest argument or the safest debate, getting kicked in the nuts or pregnancy, which one's worse, right?
Right.
If I was to get kicked in the nuts and I was to tell you, oh my God, I got kicked in the nuts. It was the most horrible feeling. I felt like I had to take a shit. I had a stomach ache all at the same time. Next thing you know, I passed out, headache, and I started explaining it to you, right? This was a real life debate, actually. I explained the situation and she comes out and she tells me, well, that's nothing compared to giving birth. We weren't talking about birth. We weren't talking about
a competitive kind of conversation rather than an empathetic one.
Yeah, and that's kind of where it goes to. That's always where it goes to, generally. Not always. That's generally where it goes to, though.
Right.
So men, we don't want to compete with women in that aspect, right? Because at the end of the day, we love, value, and respect our women. Most men do, right?
Some.
So most.
You find most?
Most, yeah. I have a lot of good friends that, you know, they love, value, and respect.
You do have some great friends, yeah. And I will say I do know that of you. You are of that character, and I have a great deal of respect for you in that way.
I appreciate that. Yeah, but don't think that's gonna make
me talk. Don't push
it.
Don't push it.
Yeah, just stop.
Yeah.
but my issue is this: if women really wanted men to open up. If society really wanted men to open up, they'll stop making things competitive for us. They'll stop making us compete for that kind of attention or that kind of affection or empathy, right? If we can have a whole month dedicated to us and actually honor that month dedicated to us, maybe things will be a little bit different.
Well, why does it have to be just a month? It's a continual, should be a continual thing.
I was just using that as an example.
Right.
It definitely should be a continual thing, but I was just using it as an example.
Right.
So in today's society, there's a month dedicated to everything, right?
Right, yeah.
And like, if you look at it, Father's Day falls number 18 on the most popular holidays.
Number 18 or 19.
Yes. So the most celebrated holidays. So Arbor Day comes way before that. So people love trees more than they love men.
But how do you quantify that? How do people, does it just come first in the calendar?
No, it's not.
Or how do you quantify the most,
it's the most celebrated. So like, it's one of the, it's not the most celebrated, but it's, it depends on how it's celebrated, right? So you got Christmas, clearly, you know, Mother's Day, or Mother's Day comes before Christmas.
Right.
So, but those are like the top two, but you go from that to men's being like number 19.
Yeah.
Or to fathers being number 19 or 18 or whatever it may be, you know? So with that being said, where do we draw the line, and how can we figure out a way for men to get their moment to be able to effectively express themselves and start healing us, and so we can start healing ourselves? You get what I'm saying? Because up until now, it's still going on, and until who knows when, men have always been figuring things out on their own, you know? And sometimes things come up and it's too much for us to bear. And that's why we have more, our death toll is a lot higher, you know?
I will say that you're correct in that you guys tend to take a lot on and not share how you feel. And when you're overwhelmed, you don't necessarily voice that. I do find that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of women do that as well. But I do find that men tend to be less vocal about their limits of being overwhelmed. And that's not a healthy thing, because then, you know, you got to get that out somehow, right? So I think men typically either get frustrated or angry or turn to some sort of substance. And those kinds of things, therein lie a separate ongoing issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am surprised to hear you say, though, that you haven't had an experience where more women wanted to know how you think and feel. That shocks me, to be honest with you. I hear that a lot, and this may be a different debate, but I do hear that a lot from women. Oh, I wish you would just tell me how he feels, or I wish you would, you know. And so I will put out there that men, we do value your opinion, and we do value your feelings, and we do want to know what's going on in your heart, in your head, in your life. And I think if you're in a good, healthy relationship, or you have a good friendship that you can rely on, and you trust that and you feel secure, I would say, you know, share some of those things. You don't have to share your deepest, darkest secrets all the time, but share some of those little things and maybe those tough moments that you go through, because it helps us to be better friends and better partners as well.
You see, but that, you said something interesting, like when you talk about the vast majority of women and stuff like that, right? It's, I understand that most women want to know what's in a man's head, right? But that's directly pertaining to the man that she's with, right? If you're with somebody, then I wouldn't expect you to sit there and try to get in my head, trying to figure out what's going on with me, and kind of ignore the person that you're with. You get what I'm saying? So I think that's, or vice versa, I wouldn't expect you to worry about me when you're worried, when you have somebody in front of you, right?
Yeah, and full disclosure, for anyone who's listening to this, in my practice in a daily basis, I'm a therapist, so I may have a different relationship with friends and family and partners, where people feel like they can open up to me a little bit more just because of the work that I do or the person that I am. Yeah. And so full disclosure, just putting that out there.
But yeah, just not me.
You've come a long way, Danny. You've come a long way. Because our friendship has grown. Our friendship has grown. And we have a level of trust where we talk to each other. When we first met, you know, I'd say, oh, hey, what's going on? What's nothing? And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work with me. but you're right. It does take time. But I will just say that probably my experiences with people are probably could be slightly different from others.
But women tend to be concerned with the man that they're with, or the man that they're interested in.
Fair enough.
Right. And that's just a general statement. It's not like attacking all women or saying all women are like that, but majority of women, and that's where my experience lies, is the majority of women who I've spoken to, that's where their head was at. You know, they only care about the person's mind that they're focused on.
And are these like friends or just people you're talking to?
They're friends. They were friends for the most part. You know, most of them were friends. You know, a few of them were just acquaintances and stuff like that. Right. But you know, I was clearly going through things. As you know, I was clearly going through things a while back, and I went into my little bubble, my quiet little reserved self, and out of everybody that I know, I know a lot of people, and out of everybody I know, two people hit me up. Aside from you, two people hit me up to check on me, and they were both men. Mm-hmm. Not a single woman that I was with, either I was with or I was talking to or a friend with, hit me up to say, hey, what's going on? Something's off, right?
And fuck then, those bitches.
But
yeah,
I met somebody recently, mm-hmm. and she's a really good friend of mine. Like, and she's always trying. Like, she's hitting the same walls that you hit many moons ago. Mm-hmm. She's hitting the same walls. She's like, why the fuck don't you open up?
You hitting her walls? That's the big question.
No, absolutely okay. not. She's actually dating a good
Speaking
friend.
Speaking of
mine,
uteruses. So. Oh, no, she, okay. Forget she, I ever said anything.
She's dating a good friend of mine. So, you know, I like to respect their relationship and stuff like that. But with that being said though, she always tries yeah. to get me to talk and open up. But I'm thick-headed. I'm hard-headed. I don't do that very well.
Yep.
And the same walls that you hit. Hey, what's going on? Nothing. You want to talk about it? There's nothing to talk about.
So where do you think that comes from? Do you think that comes from childhood? Do you think that comes from society, a combination of both? Because I will say this, older generations or generations past, I think that's very much true to the time. I think the phrases, you know, man up, take it like a man, be strong, mm-hmm. be brave, you know, I think all the don't cry, all those, all that was fed into young boys in generations past. I will say it's a different time now. And I mm-hmm. will say there is a lot more being brought to the forefront and being spoken about in terms of really communicating,
right.
really putting mental health on stage, really, you know, the push to voice your opinions, voice your emotions, mm-hmm. almost to, and I would say, and some people might disagree, but almost to an extreme. We've almost gone a little overboard with it, to be honest with you, in some aspects, not just in mm-hmm. relation to men, but into the whole
opening up
the feelings movement. and I mm-hmm. mean, people tend to be overly yeah. offended by everything now, which I think is the wrong direction we should be going.
And you overshot it there, Skipper.
yeah. And I don't think that was the intention of the movement to express oneself. But absolutely. You know, that will always happen. It's human nature. But I don't think it's as prevalent in this particular generation or the young people now mm-hmm. as it was in generations past. But where do you think that stems from? Do you think it's just a childhood thing? Does it come from your parents, or maybe different? You know, I don't know if you have immigrant parents or something where you know what I mean. That might be a factor in you know, don't show emotion and like things like that. Like I don't know. There's a lot of different facets of things that come into play. But what do you?
You hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of different facets that come into play. I think for my generation or our generation, mm-hmm. you're a little bit older than I, so
well,
our
generation.
But for the older generation, you know, or generations, I'd say it's more along the lines of that man up idea, right? Mm-hmm. For newer generations, you know, I don't think it's the man up thing, because like you said, they were indoctrinated to speak about their feelings mm-hmm. overly, to overly express their feelings, to speak about it too much, right? Mm-hmm. And is there really such a thing as too much? That's a question and a debate for another day. But
fair enough. Good call.
I think with the newer generation, it's a combination of things. They see the older generation doing the same thing, so they're mimicking our movements, right? Subconsciously. And another thing that comes into account is that with a lot of the younger generation, there's a lot of toxicity, right? So
the younger generations?
A lot of the younger generations. And
how so? What is by toxicity?
And I've experienced this too. As you know, it's every time I'd say something or express myself, it'd be weaponized against me.
Oh yeah, everyone's right? Offended over everything.
Right. So, right. And I say the newer generations, and my generation as well, most of us, it's something that we experience. Everything that we say gets weaponized against us. So why bother speaking about it when I could say something now and later on it's going to be used to hurt me again?
You say weaponized against us, you mean us as in men or us as in people?
Men.
Men, generally. Men. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. So mm-hmm. my ex-wife and I, we had a conversation not too long ago, right? And I told her I was going on vacation or whatever the case may be. And she tells me, that's great. You deserve it. You need to get out. You need to do something for you. You haven't done something for you in forever. It's like, okay, cool. She was being nice.
I'm sorry about that.
You're good. I guess your female dog just weaponized whatever your male dog says. <sister. laughs>
He tried to share his emotions and she was not having it.
Yeah. So she tells, after that, you know, she calls me back a few days later and she starts complaining. Well, you have money to go on vacation. You can do this, you can do that. And everything just kind of flipped. I thought you were happy about me going on vacation. Why is it now a problem? You know, you and I are not together. What I do is not your business. At the end of the day, that's what the conversation was pertaining or leading to, right?
And but, you also don't owe her your life, Danny. No.
And that's, know. Listen, this is not a therapy session for me, Jenny. So
I know. I'm just
let's pause on that one. But I'm just giving you an example. You asked. For an example,
I agree with you. I'm just pointing out the fact that if anybody else goes through the situation, you know, you're allowed to have your own life too. You're allowed to do things for yourself. I agree with you. Fuck that bitch. You're allowed to do things for yourself. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And you are 100%. You are. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to be vocal about how you feel as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, and that's where people get it fucked up, is because it's all masked. Everything is masked now, right? As far as men's health and men's mental health, men's issues are concerned.
Yeah.
Everything is masked. Fuck that. Mm. We're going to start talking about how we feel. And it's going to be overwhelming for a lot of people. For a lot of women, it's going to be overwhelming. So I'm just forewarning you ladies, if you keep on pushing your man to talk about his problems, be ready to listen to some shit.
I also think too, it's good to talk about things because I think you develop a certain vocabulary in talking about things that help you to communicate in ways that women understand you better. I think when either side doesn't speak about how they feel, sometimes when they say things, it doesn't come out in a way that is relatable to the other side,
right?
The opposite sex. And I say that because you just reminded me of a post that I saw a few days ago, and it's someone that I follow, and he often talks about his divorce and how he's moving on and doing great things. But the post that he
posted, are you stalking my stuff?
No, it's not, nothing, none of it. But the post that he posted came off a little misogynistic. And I would like to think that what he was trying to express was that he would appreciate a woman who was supportive in his life. That's what I'm going to tell myself. That's what I would like to believe where his head was at. But the way it came out was a woman should be submissive, pack his bag, cook him meals, do all these things. And that's the true testament of a woman. And I, you know how that sounds to me, because you know me.
Sounds like your cup of tea.
I would think that that's probably not the best way to express what you might be meaning. So I think it is important to keep the conversation going and keep the communication going.
Yeah.
And leave some room for. It wasn't that I wasn't offended by that. I just looked at that and thought, that could probably be expressed a little bit better and healthier. So I think there needs to be room for people, both sides, both men and women,
right.
Men to not take it out of context and be so, upset about things, and women not to be so offended by every little thing that a man says, because the truth of the matter is, I hate to point it out, people, we are a different people. Men mm-hmm. are different from women. Women are different from men. We have two totally different sets of hormones, and the thought process and the way we say things and do things. So we do tend to communicate a little differently. So we have to respect each other's way of communicating. And I think you're right in that communication needs to happen, and more often and more frequently.
And it will.
With a certain level of empathy and understanding and respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I think should happen, Jenny?
Tell me.
I think we should make a seminar on how to communicate. We should do a communication seminar.
I had planned on doing before COVID, I was going to do some anger release seminars for outdoors for a men's group. And then I was going to do something similar to that, but I love that idea. We should really think about putting something like that together. That would be a great idea.
Yeah. I'm down for that. I'm down for that, because there's ways that people can communicate. And like me, the way that I communicate is pretty direct, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't kind of shy away from my mind. If I think it, I say it for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a very similar communication style, mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Okay.
but I think there's some potential there. I think that, there's something that we can talk about, and we can mm-hmm. iron out the details.
I will say, when I started the clinic, I just automatically thought that a majority of my clients would be women. And it was to my surprise to my delight that the majority of my clients are men. And I mm-hmm. think and that's really kind of, I was happy about that. I was happy to see that, because I think I agree with you from the beginning of this conversation. I don't think enough is done to support men in coming forward to talk about their problems or their struggles or their challenges. And for me, if you follow me on my therapy TikTok or you go through any of my posts, my whole thing is I want to create a safe space mm-hmm. to talk about tough stuff. And that's all it is. I just want you just come, and it's like talking to a friend, and it's not like a clinical. I wanted to get away from that kind of feel when I started the clinic.
The best part about it is it can be anonymous too. Like, no one has to know who you are. You can express
yourself. Absolutely. You know, like all the appointments, this is not a plug for the clinic, but I just want to say, like, the appointments are, on the phone or on Zoom. So you don't have to go anywhere, even if you don't want to be mm-hmm. seen on video. On a Zoom, you can call in and have a that way. But my point is that there are options, and I think what it showed me is that there are men out there who desire to be heard, and I think we need to, and we owe it to men to hear them out, listen to what they're saying, and value what they're saying, mm-hmm. And take stock of it,
And I encourage anyone woman, male, man, woman, whoever you may be, whatever you identify as, you know, I encourage you to listen with the intent to understand and not with the intent to respond. Okay. Because a lot of times people receive that message that a man's trying to say, and all of a sudden they try to devalue it with a response. You know, it's not for you to respond. A lot of the times when I talk about my problems, it's a rhetorical conversation. I want to talk about it and I want to get it out, but I don't need someone to kind of change my thought process. I don't need someone to kind of give me anything other than an open ear and an open mind, you know? So this way, whenever that time comes for questions and I do need the actual help, then we can move forward with that process. You know, there's steps to this and there's levels to all of it. And at the end of the day, I think if people listen to understand versus listen to respond, I think there'll be a lot more effective communication going around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I always, I love to say respond rather than react. So I love that point that you made. That's a really good point. And it's interesting too, because I think typically when men and women communicate in a conversational setting, if a female has an issue or a problem or a concern or a challenge, a man just wants to fix it, right? So they're solution-based and want to provide a solution to the problem and want to fix it. Just similar to, you know, fixing the kitchen sink,
right?
not to you know, make it any less of a problem, but just to give you an example, that fix it mentality. And you know, and we women just want to be, you know, heard and supported. And I think when men talk, they don't need us to fix their problem. They just want that soft place to fall, really. You know, they just want that safe space just to feel that level of comfort to open up to somebody and not have it used against them, or just to have someone listen and feel that support. Would you agree with that? Or
I would agree with that, and I would add a little bit of a perspective to that as well. So that fix it mentality, right? It's a real thing. It's been around for ages or whatnot. You know, it's back to the caveman era. You know, we go out, we'd hunt, we'd bring back the food, and you know, the women would do everything else.
and that's also a love language, right? That's my love language, right? So if you fix it, like that makes me feel good, you know? So that is a love language, yeah.
So with that being said, when a man talks about his problems, that's his way of fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be a form of him fixing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I still encourage people to understand, to listen, to understand, because that, a lot of times men won't tell you how they fix something because we don't know how we fix it, but you know, it got done and you know, it's good. You know, it's working, you know, whatever it is. Like, I've rebuilt a carburetor, but you know, don't ask me what components are in it, because it's working right now. It's irrelevant what's in it, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think that's what it boils down to. Like, men have the natural instinct to fix, right? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about it, that's our natural instinct kicking in. We're talking about it because we're trying to fix it. And that's our way of compartmentalizing everything.
Yeah, I love that. So what do you think is the next step forward from a male's perspective?
The next steps forward? As far as this message is going out to men, really, if you want to move forward, and the next step forward for you is to find someone you're comfortable talking to. You know, find someone who would definitely listen to you, would drop at the drop of a hat, pick up the phone for you and be like, well, what do you need? I'm here for you. That's the next step. You know, it's difficult, especially now in this time, in this day and age, it's difficult. It's hard to find.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a friend or a family member, because, you know, that could feel overwhelming and burdensome to some people in your life. It could also mean a third party, like a therapist or something like that.
Yeah. So I will say this, you know, my DMs are open. Like, I know I say that a lot, joking around and stuff like that, you know, but if anyone needs to talk about anything or vent or, you know, get a male's perspective, like, I'll be more than happy to help out as much as I can, because at the end of the day, we're trying to build a community of support, mm-hmm. you know, and we can't get a community of support without a community. So at the end of the day, I just want to build that community and just be there and be a pillar for people who may need it, you know?
Yeah,
and like I said, everything that we talk about, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not any of that. I'm not as you know, planted and rooted as Jenny is here. She's almost famous. So for me,
I'm gonna kill you.
the rules still apply. You know, whatever we talk about will be between us, and it would not leave the DM or the story or whatever it is that wherever it is that you want to talk to me at, you know, unless you want to, you know, and we want to get your story out. And if it's impactful and it's going to change lives, we're going
to
do that.
Yeah. Okay? And I think it's important to create that community, and it's important to let people know that they're not alone and they are there. Mm-hmm. There are people going through similar things or people who are willing to lend an ear. I will just say, just from a legal tidbit of a standpoint, a little caveat there is, if you do think you need professional help, seek that and seek out a professional's advice. So I just want to add that.
Yes.
It's great to help everybody and all of that stuff, and it's great to be helpful and listen and lend ears, and sometimes that's all we need, right? We just need someone to listen.
Someone there.
Just need a shoulder to lean on or an ear open to vent, and that's great. But if you do need a little bit more than that, please do seek out the appropriate professional help. So just add that caveat. But I think sort of the underlying foundation of this whole movement going forward is that communication is really really the key thing,
yeah.
And for people to find a safe space and to really speak up about how they feel, and for men to come forward about how they feel, and for other men too. Just you know, we talk a lot about men and women and the conflict sometimes in communication between men and women, but I will say there are men out there who chastise other men for showing emotion.
Yeah.
And so don't do that. Stop doing that. If you're one of those guys who you're this, you know, big, tough and rumble guy, and you don't show emotion, I will say one, that tends to be a bit of a cover. So, and two, you know, not everybody is like you. So some men are a little bit more in tune with their emotion and share it a little bit more than perhaps you may, and that is okay. So don't chastise other men for showing emotion or feeling a certain way. Just, you know, if it's not your thing and you don't want to hear it and you don't want to listen to it, just leave the room or exit stage left or whatever you need to do. But, you know, not everything needs a response or a comment or a reaction.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let people do their thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, go home and talk about them behind their back, behind closed doors, like normal people, right?
Yeah.
But just, you know, like try to, you know, be supportive and try to be understanding. Yeah. So
if you're one of those types of men that she just described, you're insecure. And I'll call you out all day long. You're insecure, but it's okay to be insecure. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's healthy. It's something that you need to understand, though, so this way you can get over your insecurities, so you can be a better and more effective person for yourself. So,
absolutely,
I'll just put that out there. Yeah. That's my little tidbit.
I love it. I love this. How are you? One thing I want to touch on, aside from this combo, is how is your podcast coming along, sir? What any movement towards that yet?
There, I, you know what? Listen,
still in the works.
It's still in the works. I've been working in the background. I've been doing a few other things and working on a few other projects.
Okay.
And so have the people that I've been working with. They've been working on their projects as well. So nice. I'm just kind of feeling things out. The podcast is not on standby. It's not on hold. It's still being worked on, but there's some processing that we have to do.
Absolutely. Take some time, but I'm looking forward to that. That would be great. I've loved this show, Danny. I always love talking to you. We always have great conversations, and I think this has been a really helpful and insightful show for some people. I hope people listening and watching got a lot out of this episode. And please, we, Danny and I, really love feedback and critique, and we are really, really we have a vested interest in knowing your thoughts and feelings on the episodes that we do. So please, you know, DM us or send me a message or Instagram me on, you know, how you enjoyed the show, things you liked, things you didn't like, what you wish we had talked about, something as like that. And we'll try to incorporate that into another episode.
Yes.
Where can people find you, my love?
On TikTok at Rolling Barrel Zero. No G, just Rolling Barrel Zero. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram at Roland Barrel. Same thing, no G.
Love it. I love it. Well, a big thank you again to our sponsor, Death Run Supply Co. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe. We are on Spotify, iTunes, all over the audio platform. Danny, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks you for having me. I think I made the show.
Yeah, it was all you, babe. All you.
Yeah. Just such a charmer.
Thanks again for everybody watching and listening, and we will see you next week. Thanks, Danny.
Bye.
Bye.